Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, folks, there is nobody I would rather have to help us kick off a happy birthday to me edition of Thursday Night Tailgate than our first guest, Matthew Lawrence. It's been amazing getting to know Matthew over the last couple of years, both on this show and over on the golf side on Next on the Tee. Matthew is a guy who, as an actor, I really enjoy. You guys know how much of a Eddie and the Cruisers fan I am, and Matthew played the role of Sal Amato, the bass player, in that movie, and Eddie and the Cruisers is one of my top five favorite movies of all time. He was also in Streets of Fire, reuniting with Eddie and the Cruisers co-star Michael Paré. He was also in Beverly Hills 90210, St. Elmo's Fire. He was a part of the cast of the sixth season of Saturday Night Live. He starred in a TV show duet with Mary Page Geller back in the late 1980s. My family and I have been watching One Tree Hill, and all of a sudden, boom, there's Matthew, and then his brother Mitchell, also in some episodes of that series. And more recently, Matthew has been a sideline analyst, first for Duke basketball, now Kentucky basketball. And he also hosts his own golf show, Backspin Golf, which is fantastic. I listen religiously every Sunday morning. It's my regular 8:03 a.m. tee time. You can join me in listening on ESPN Radio WLXG Sports Radio AM 1300. It's broadcast out of Lexington, Kentucky, but you can go online to WLXG.com or doing what I did, which is download the WLXG app and listen on my smartphone. And we're very excited that Matthew is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Matthew, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back.
All right. First, Frank wants to say something to you, Chris. Hold on. Happy birthday to you. What are you laughing at? I don't get to do Frank very often, and especially as a birthday song. And, you know, Frank, I'm sorry. Frank, come back. Frank. All right. He's mad. He's gone.
I'm sorry. Please apologize for me.
Happy birthday. Hey, Bob. Hey.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Listen, I thought I had a big ego. I really did, because, I'm just an amazing guy. But I never in my life thought about doing a happy birthday to me show. It's fantastic.
This is what I'm saying. It's my birthday. It's my actual birthday today. And, every year we do a happy birthday to me, right? I get to have my favorite people on the show, right? It doesn't get any
better than
that.
Well, I'm humbled that you wanted me to be one of those people, and I wish you a happy day, the best year ever, and to continue for another 50 years. I could hear you doing, joining us now on Next on the Tee is, what we doing here? I hope that goes for you.
I hope that does go for me as well, and I hope you're on the other end of the line when I'm doing it.
No, that won't happen, because I'm 30 years older than you, pal, so that won't happen.
So, Matthew, for our audience on the football side, right, you're 2 weeks removed from your first visit to Augusta National, and I had the chance, the blessing of talking to you and Mitch the night before you went. But for our conversation here, right, and for those who didn't hear it on your golf show, talk about, your visit there, and did it live up to the expectations?
Well, real quickly, I've been trying to get there. Obviously, it's a bucket list item for almost anybody that loves golf. My brother Mitch had been many, many, many times, and through our friend John Patrick of the Augusta Golf Show, I got to go this year on Wednesday before the Masters. And all the years from my brother and all my friends that have been there that say, I can't describe it, you have to go for yourself, you always think, I see it on TV. There are no true words to describe the beauty and the experience of actually being at Augusta National. It's, and I got to do it with my brother Mitch, which was made it even more special. And talking to you on the show, we were in Aiken, South Carolina that night, right across the border from Augusta. And we had a lot of fun doing it. Every time we mentioned something, I couldn't believe I was actually there. And the great thing was I was there all day Thursday. And going home and watching, I've been watching the Masters like we all have, for me, for 40 years probably. But watching it this time was a completely different experience, having just been there and seeing the beauty of the place and the walking the back nine when they played 18 on Sunday and I had just been there. It's a whole different experience. It's something I'll never forget. And for any of your listeners, if you ever get a chance to go, and it doesn't matter what day you go, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the actual tournament, it's something that you'll never forget. It's an awe-inspiring experience.
So I got to know, how much money did you spend in the pro shop?
I was really good, Chris. Really good.
Yeah?
$163.
Wow.
Really good. And 70
yeah.
of that was... I had to get something for a friend of mine, that jerk that said, oh, by the way, give me a Masters shirt, the only one of my friends. So I did really well. I got 700 ball markers and a whole bunch of stuff that said Masters that wasn't really that expensive.
All right. So the other thing I got in two words for you, Alex
yeah.
Norin. Alex Norin.
Yeah, so I made a mistake. He was my outsider pick to win the Masters. And, you know, hey, if we knew what was going on, I wouldn't be talking to you here. I would take all my money and I'd be in Tahiti somewhere. All right? So I made a pick, and that idiot played horribly, and he didn't do that well. What do you shoot me? I mean, what do you want me to say? I'm sure you picked Patrick Reed to win.
No, I went conventional. I went Jordan Spieth, and I got luck. You know, I had hope for 17 holes on Sunday.
Yeah, you did. Good for you. You know, it's a Thanks. Good thing it's your birthday, because I'll be nice. It's all it's your birthday.
Five questions for Matthew.
Great to speak with you again, Matthew. And I
you
we're
too,
still
Bob.
On the heels of the Final Four and everything, and I wanted to get your gut reaction on the whole Duke thing. I mean, that was a team this year, Matthew, that even Krzyzewski halfway through said, I just don't know what to expect from this team. We're playing a new zone defense, and you knew
yeah.
they had future pros, and they're losing them all. But it must be getting harder even for Krzyzewski at this point, Matthew, because of the one-and-done mentality. It's showing its ugly head down at Duke now. But what do you think of his program now? What do you expect in the future? And is his job is more difficult now than it's ever been?
Well, it is in a lot of ways. But here's the amazing thing about Mike Krzyzewski. Every single year, and it's hard to kind of express this in the right way. Every single year is its own entity to him. As much as we all think about the brilliance of his career and the Duke program and the championships and the Olympic team and everything he's done, he literally throws himself into each version of his team every year. And it starts the minute the season's over, whenever that is, and lasts until the season's over the following year. It's a totally new experience for him in every way, every year. And so it's different than it's been when you have seniors and juniors, but by the same token, the challenge to him and the beauty of what he does is every day that journey with that group of kids. All five starters gone from this year. The top four of the 9 or 10 recruits coming in next year. It's a new challenge and a new experience and journey for him. And that's how he approaches it. You know, it's not, if you look at it, Duke had a pretty good year last year. I mean, they have NBA talent, but they got to the Elite Eight. They won, I think, 29 games again. They set a tremendous amount of milestones again. They had a player in Marvin Bagley that accomplished things that had never been done by any freshman in Duke history there last year. Wendell Carter will be a lottery pick. And all along the way, with the ups and downs and everything that goes along with it, he will tell you that it was one of his most enjoyable years ever. That's who he is. And so the same thing will happen next year. That's the way basketball is now, as we all know. It's, you know, and I thought Villanova the whole year was the best team. I thought they deserved to win the title, which isn't always the case. Jay Wright is an incredible guy and coach. And, you know, I've been there. I went 10 years. I was on the sidelines at every NCAA tournament, and which with these programs is the only thing that means anything. And to win those six games in March, in the beginning of April, there are a lot of factors involved. No matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter who's playing for you, you know, it takes a lot of things to win a national championship. So they're going to be great again this year. And Coach K, as I've said many times, I've said it to Chris too, is the most amazing individual that I've ever met in my life in every way. So I'm a little biased, but that's my family. And I think it'll be another great year next year.
And quickly, Matthew, because of your New York roots, I wanted to ask you about the Yankees. I have them on in the background here. They're early up on Toronto tonight. But the whole Aaron Boone situation, the new players, the pressure and everything
what
else.
About
you
know what?
Things.
You know what, Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Look at my Red Sox. We're the greatest team in history. What did they play? 18 games? Let's talk. You and I will talk in September, okay? Let's do that. Mr. Owen, we have to look at our new manager. Aaron Boone sucks, and our new manager is the greatest. He's John McGraw in the Boston Red Sox dugout. Now, I heard the little dig at the beginning. I heard it.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah. Okay, does that answer your question? They'll be fine.
It does.
All right.
It's touchy about you Yankees just because you're off to
Not
a slow start and the
just,
Red
you know,
Sox are
yeah.
15-2.
Yeah, whatever. Talk to me in September, pal. Okay.
All right. So let's switch over real quick. And I know you got to go, but let's talk about your Giants real quick. A week from tonight, they're probably on the clock. Who are you expecting them to draft?
Okay. I expecting and hoping. And if they don't, I will lose my freaking mind. I almost just did a New York thing there, but I didn't. I'm proud of myself. if what's his name? Who's the guy? What's his, the Roger Goodell doesn't go to that podium and say, with the second pick in the NFL draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley of Penn State, I will go personally to the offices of the New York Football Giants. And I'll just put it this way. There will be a scene. I'll just put it that way. That's what I'm hoping for. As a matter of fact, how about this little tidbit? I went to college and was a very good friend of a gentleman named Steve Tisch. Do you know that name?
I do know that name.
Yeah. The owner of the New York Giants, that guy. Yeah.
Yes.
So if Saquon Barkley is not chosen a week from tonight, I will be going to New York and finding Steve Tisch. And it won't be pretty.
So, one more before we let you go. And we learned today that the Giants dropped Brandon Marshall. Do you think that might have been a preemptive move to make room for Dez Bryant?
Dez, baby. Dez. Dez. Here's the thing. Like, I think, really, truly, I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl like 8 years in a row now. Okay? That's what I think. Now. Here's what I'm going to say. If we're not going to win the Super Bowl, let's make it as crazy and wild in New York as we possibly can. We will have Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham Jr. on the same sideline screaming at coaches and pushing their faces into kicking nets. And, it'll be fantastic. It'll be just awesome. Awesome.
What's awesome is you, my friend. Thank you for taking time out of your night to kick my birthday edition off in style. You're the best.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, happy birthday. I hope it's your best year ever. Bob, it's great talking to you. You guys rock.
Thank you.
Your both podcasts are the best, and I'm always happy to jump on with you. Happy birthday, pal.
I appreciate you, Matthew. Take care. All the best to you and your family, my friend.
Thanks, man. See ya.
See ya. That's the great Matthew Lawrence. And again, his golf show is absolutely outstanding. And I promise you, I listen every Sunday morning. I got mad at him because he went on hiatus for a couple of months and just destroyed my Sunday mornings in the wintertime. But he's back. It's called Backspin Golf. It's on WLXG Sports Radio AM 1300 up in Lexington, Kentucky. You can stream it online at WLXG.com or download the WLXG app on your smartphone and tune in that way. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line, and we're going to get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.